Thankful this morning for that amazing love. That amazing love that extends to each and every one of us. There's not a limited number of people. There's not a capacity that once it's reached, no one else can gain entrance, but it's amazing love that extends to every single person whosoever will, and that includes me. Thank the Lord. Appreciate the hope of the gospel today. It's a gospel that brings hope and forgiveness and correction, and it brings that satisfies our individual needs in life. So thankful for the Word of God. I'd like to read a passage this morning from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Didn't realize that it was going to coincide so well with our Sunday school lesson this morning. So those places where it intersects, count it as reinforcement. I've written on the board, slow down, pause, and stop. That's the root of my thought this morning. Verse 1, Acts 9 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. And as he journeyed, as he went forth, as he progressed, as he moved, as he endeavored to get from point A to somewhere else, as he journeyed, he fell to the earth and his journey stopped. Have you ever seen a big red stop button? You ever seen those before? My frame of reference is plant life, live plant life. So if you've been in a plant, a manufacturing plant, it's not just manufacturing plants, you might see a piece of channel iron bolted to the floor, and you might see an electrical box mounted on top, sitting out by the road, and you may see something that looks like that, and it's just there, just by itself, out there, easily accessible, an emergency stop button. Sometimes in life, you might see somebody do this. Slow down. Stop. And all of us are familiar with it's getting a little convoluted. A brake pedal. Have you ever noticed that the brake pedals are bigger than the gas pedals? I wonder why that is. That's something to think about. You know, at gas stations, sometimes you might, if you look, you'll see this button mounted away from the pumps. And that's what it is. It's an emergency stop button. What is the purpose of these? What's the purpose of an emergency stop button? What's the purpose of a brake? What's the purpose of somebody... Does this mean, please come faster? Is that... If somebody does that, is that what that means? It means that bring to a halt whatever is currently going on. Whatever movement is happening, these things mean... Some of them mean stop. This one doesn't slow things down. This just normally means stop. And this could be slow down. But it is that forward progression. Whatever it is that you're currently doing, these things can bring them to a stop. And I remember years ago, I remember being in a plant and heard the sirens go off and heard, saw people running and a man got his arm caught in the nip, it's called a nip point, where the conveyor belt ran underneath the solid piece of metal. And there was just a little bit of distance between the conveyor belt and that piece of metal, but it was pulling his arm, trying to pull his arm through that little spot with the conveyor constantly running against his arm. Now, that's not a pleasant thing to think about. And I saw his arm, and it wasn't a pleasant thing to see, but you know what? I have an idea. He was real happy that there was one of these. Stop. I've seen hazardous materials running out of a big rail car, and you know, was real thankful that there was an emergency shutoff valve. We've all had to use this, haven't we? I hope. On a frequent basis, the brake, aren't we thankful to have that? So what are these for? These things are for the saving, for the help of assets, of the environment, and most importantly, these are helpful for the preservation of life. Yes. Physical life, slow down, pause, stop. But I'm not really thinking about mechanical things today. I'm thinking about our lives, thinking about putting brakes on in our life. But the challenge is that we live in a culture and we live where there is a spirit in our culture of go, go, go. Right? And everybody has opinions, and most of us feel pretty strongly about our opinions a lot of times. And so we go, go, go with our opinions too. And then coupled with how life works, it just feels like sometimes we can get into these ruts and hit cruise control, and we just know this is just what we're supposed to do. We're, this material is just supposed to flow. This energy is just supposed to flow like this. This is just the direction that I'm supposed to go. And it can be hard sometimes, lots of times, to slow down, to pause, and to stop in life. And yet, the Scripture teaches us that some of God's greatest works happen when people stop. Jesus stopped for the hurting. Jesus stopped for the overlooked. Jesus stopped when it was inconvenient. He teaches us all to have a ministry, if you will, of being interrupted. That we might take the time to slow down, to pause, to stop, to see the one that perhaps is laying at our gate. And not only to see them and to recognize that they are there, but then to minister help to them. That's Bible and it's Scripture. But there's also some very personal reasons to stop. For me. But then it also affects other people. And I'd like to give some consideration to one of those reasons this morning. And it has to do with patterns. What is a pattern? And I want to write some numbers on the board. And while I'm writing numbers on the board, if you have a word, a couple words that describe a pattern, then help me out. What's a pattern? Anyone? Keep talking. Repetitive, consistent, predictable. You can anticipate it. It's a pattern. And you know, we as people, we have patterns. I don't know if you can see this or not. Does anybody see a pattern with this? Any patterns show up? Every third number is a 3. It doesn't matter what came before, and it doesn't matter what came after. You can have a double number, 3 pops up. You can have a 1 and a 5, and a 3 pops up. Every time you get to this place, this 3 pops up. No matter what happened before, no matter what was said before, no matter what was said after, no matter what was done before, no matter what was done after, when this spot comes, a 3 shows up. And these things show up in our personal lives. They can show up as behaviors, habits, ways of thinking, ways of acting. Well, I'll tell you what, so-and-so, if this happens and that third spot comes around, I can just about tell you that a 3 is going to show up. This is what's going to happen. This is what they're going to say. This is what they're going to do. And it doesn't matter if it's a double. It doesn't matter if there's one in between. It doesn't matter if it's in sequence. When this happens, I know that person. That's what's going to happen. A way of thinking, a way of doing things, a way of living, habits in our lives. And some of these things come with very powerful consequences and outcomes in our lives. I'm speaking about our way of living, way of thinking. And so sometimes stopping and slowing down and pausing, putting on the brakes, means stopping, slowing down, pausing a habit, a behavior, a way of thinking, a way of doing, before harm happens. Before harm happens to yourself, or before harm happens to somebody else. Saul, we just read about Saul who became Paul. Saul had to stop persecuting. He had to stop persecuting. He was zealous. He was sincere, wasn't he? He had personal conviction. Saul did. Do you have personal conviction this morning? Anybody here have personal conviction? Are you sincere? Do you feel compelled to live how you're living this morning? I do. And I suspect a lot of people here do as well. And so did Saul. He was zealous. He was sincere. He believed that he was right. And yet he was very wrong. He had history. Saul had history. He had tradition. He had support. He went to the high priest. The high priest, very religious person, had the support of the high priest. But he was completely and sadly misguided in what he was doing. And he was stuck in a pattern. He was stuck in a belief, and it was hurting people. And the Lord had to come along, and he had to say, Saul, stop. Slow down. What are you doing? You're hurting me. You are hurting my people, and you've been blind to it. Brothers and sisters this morning, in the fear of the Lord, tradition, habit, sincerity, personal conviction, they don't justify harmful patterns that are outside of the Word of God. Amen? It doesn't matter how strong your personal conviction is. It doesn't matter how long the tradition's been in place. It doesn't matter how well embedded the way of life is. If it is outside of the Word of the Lord, it doesn't justify the way. It's a reason, but it doesn't justify. And, you know, people kind of say lightly sometimes to try to make a point, so I'll do it too. They say, well, that's the way my dad was, and that's the way my grandfather was, and that's the way I am, and that's just the way it is. Or may say, well, that's just the way I've been taught. That's just the way we've always done it. But sometimes the Lord in His mercy would like to come along and change. He'd like to change the way you do it. He'd like to change the way I do it. He'd like to change my understanding. He would like to pour in some eye salve of the Holy Spirit that I might see. That I might find life where perhaps before I didn't have life. The Lord didn't come to try to make us all the same. People say, well, it's the way I was made. That's how God made me, and so that's who I am. And I just don't see that God wants to just make everybody exactly the same, because He made me different. He did make us different. And he didn't come to make us all different and then do this thing where everybody is a cookie cutter, exactly the same in every area. Mm-hmm. However, He left this undone portion where He left it up to our choice whether or not we wanted to connect with Him, to allow Him to help us come to not only the knowledge of the truth, but to be able to pattern our lives, not after our own way and our own way of thinking, as Saul did, but after his way. And there's scripture all through the Bible for that. It's the hope of the gospel. I'm thankful for it. Jesus came to transform stony hearts and give us hearts of flesh that we might be able to receive His Spirit. Ezekiel 36 and 26. He came that we might be able to bear peaceable fruit of the Spirit. Live in a way that is consistent with the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. We heard about some of that this morning. Galatians 5. You can read it. I'm not going to take the time to go through and read all of these places, but it's scripture. Just because it's the way we are doesn't justify it as being right. And further, folks, long-held tradition, beliefs, habits, patterns don't justify holding up the commandments of men as doctrines of God. Regardless of how far back the pattern goes. And yet, the longer something goes, the harder it is sometimes to adjust. Consider, the Israelites and the Jews had to stop those empty rituals that were hurtful to God and hurtful to themselves and other people, and instead focus primarily, first, on a changed heart and a relationship with God. Isaiah 1 and 11 through 17, and again, we won't turn there, but a couple of examples. You can read even back in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, where God, He so wanted something more than a law. He wanted something so much more than a ritual. He wanted so much more than sacrifice. He wanted so much more than empty smoke that came up from an animal sacrifice. He wanted something that came from the heart that was connected to Him. It was, Lord, my God, my Father, I want to serve You. I want to be connected to You. I want to hear the sound of Your voice. I want to live by faith. I want to hear something that goes beyond the commandments of man, the ways of man, the thoughts of man, those things that maybe everybody else are in agreement with, and yet I don't feel like I'm connected with my Creator. And the Lord looked down, and in one place He said, I'm wearied. I'm wearied with even your tears on the altar. Scripture, folks. I'm wearied with your tears on the altar. What I really want, I want your obedience to my word. I want you to have something that goes beyond offering up sacrifices that, in so many cases, I'm sure many people did it because it was expected of them. And because other people did it, and so they were supposed to do it. And when it was time for the sacrifice, whatever was going on before, whatever was going on after, wherever their hearts were, it didn't matter so much. It's just a time to give the sacrifice. And so that's what they did, whether their heart was there or not. And the Lord wanted something so much more than that. Mark 7 and 6 through 13, again, we won't turn there. Jesus was speaking to the Jews and the Pharisees, and he was chastising them. He was exhorting them. He was teaching them. He
And those words were not just for the Pharisees, and they weren't just for the Jews, but they were for our edification. They were for us. They were preserved to be passed down to us all of these years, so that even today in 2026, we could open up the Word of God to Mark, the 7th chapter, and read verses 6 through 13, and we can see where Jesus is saying, "Oh, you all, you're starting to miss it. You have got so taken with your own ways and your own commandments and your own religion." The lesson this morning in Sunday school is false religion. We spent a whole lesson on it. And so many verses down through there, it spoke to something that didn't include the heart, and it didn't include a true, alive, real relationship with God the Father. But it was almost a pious way of life where we could find self-spiritual justification in the eyes of men, but failed to find peace with God. And the Lord told, Jesus told them, he said, in southern terms, you all, listen, it is not right. You are taking the commandments of men for doctrines of God, and you're making the Word of God of none effect when you do that. Because I have given you the Word of God. I am truth. I brought truth. It does not need anything more added to it. It doesn't need to be taken away from. I don't need you to come up with your own things and then call it doctrine of God. You are taking away from the power of God. That doesn't mean that we don't have ways of living and careful ways of life and standards of holiness that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us as individuals so that He can help us in our individual lives live in a way that is consistent with doctrine of God. But there is a difference between personal standards that are helping you live your life consistent with a doctrine, established doctrine of God, supported by the Word. There is a difference between that and calling personal standards and ways of living and patterns that you believe are helping you live consistent with the doctrine of God. That is different than calling this a doctrine of God. Amen? Does it make sense what I'm saying? It's the Word of God. It's what Jesus was trying to convey to the Pharisees. It is what all through the New Testament, through the Gospels, he was trying to teach the Jews that were so set in their patterns and in their ways and in their traditions that they were getting so far away from the Word of God. They were giving more credence and more time to their own commandments than they were to the law of God. I don't want to do that. Lord, help us this morning. I feel very burdened about that, and I feel like that this subject warrants more discussion than what we have this morning. The Lord willing, we'll come back to this. Lord willing, spend some dedicated time on this. Okay, what else? Slow down. Pause. Stop. Jonah had to stop running in his own direction. Doing it his way. Avoiding difficult obedience. And in so doing, he was putting himself, his life at risk, as well as the lives of other people. About cost the lives of the men in the boat, remember? Could have cost the lives of all those people in Nineveh that the Lord had a place for him to go, regardless of how difficult it may be, regardless of delivering a message that was so far outside of the pattern and the ways of the Ninevites.
But their souls, their lives were... They needed somebody like Jonah to come and say, this is the way, walk ye in it, this is the word of the Lord. And he had to stop running from that. And he needed to be obedient to come and deliver the message of what doth say the word of the Lord. Peter had to stop calling unclean what God had made clean. I want to say that again. Peter had to stop calling unclean. In a religious context, he had to stop calling unclean what God had made clean. Lord, help us to have understanding in these things. Peter had to stop being bold in the flesh. And he needed to start being bold according to the leadings of the Spirit of God. You ever notice Peter? Peter's one of my favorite characters, so I feel sorry for Peter sometimes because he gets the brunt of a lot of things. But I think really what it is that we can identify all of us with Peter in a lot of ways. Peter, it seemed like he always had something to say. He just always seemed to know what it was that needed to be done. And it really didn't matter what came before and what came after or what the situation was or what changed or what didn't change. When Peter was there, Peter wanted to be the one that I've got the answer. I know what needs to be said. Hear me. This is what needs to be done. And he was always ready to talk. He's always ready to offer up. He's always ready to contribute. And one day, God's voice came out of heaven after Peter declared what should be done to Jesus and Moses and Elijah. And God said, This is my beloved son. Hear him. And sometimes we are bold in our lives to follow after what we think, what we want to think, our opinions, our thoughts, and not pause long enough to be led by the Spirit of God that we might be able to live our lives in a way that God would be pleased with. And Saul had to set aside what he was so intent on pursuing, consistent to what he had been taught, because it was against the word of the Lord. And so the Lord had to say, stop. Stop. He caused him to fall down. Saul, what are you doing? Put the brakes on. Don't keep doing this. You see, slowing down and pausing and stopping is a key part of wisdom. Do you want to be wise? Learn how to stop. Learn how to slow down. Learn how to pause. You want to be wise, a key part of wisdom. It's a key part of humility. Folks, it's a key part of humility. Knowing and being willing to stop the direction you're going. It's a key part of repentance. Repentance means turning away. Key part of repentance. It's a key part of course change. It's a key part of growth. And if we're not willing to stop or pause, slow down, we're going to miss out on growth. We're going to miss out on understanding what it means to really repent, be humble. We're not going to grow spiritually like we should. Because
dogged consistency. Dogged consistency. And a simple unwillingness to be moved and to change is not always equivalent to being faithful to God. You with me? We can say, I'm not moving, and we can attach God's name to it. That's what the Jews did. That's what the Pharisees were doing. I'm not moving, and attach God's name to it. I'm not moving. No one is going to move me from where I am. I will be here until the end. And that is okay if you're on the rock and you're being led by the Spirit of God. But if you're not on the rock and the Lord has something for you to learn and to grow and to understand, it's not being faithful to God when God comes along and He says, stop. When God comes along and He says, stop, it's not punitive, but it's corrective. It's protective. It's redemptive. Lord, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, thank You for being willing to extend Your rod and staff to draw me back, to help me to change course. Thank the Lord that we serve a good, faithful shepherd that gave His life for the sheep and then is willing to come fill us with His Spirit and lead us and guide us. This morning, Lord, help us to faithfully consider how to apply this to our own lives. Do you have any old ways that are causing damage in your life? You have any patterns, ways of thinking, ways of living in your own life that is causing harm or about to cause harm to other people? Ways or patterns where God might be saying to you, oh, stop. This isn't working. Perhaps you meant well. Perhaps you had a lot of zeal and you had a lot of personal convictions and you meant well, but it's outside of my will. And so the Lord is saying, stop the pace, stop the pattern. I want to redirect. Do we practice as people, as disciples of the Lord, giving consideration to this topic of patterns and ways of living in our own lives, and then being still long enough to let the Lord speak to us and redirect us? Or do we say, no, I'm open to the word of the Lord, and whatever He says, I want to do the will of the Lord. And I think we do. But you know what is really human nature to do? We honestly say that, and then the Lord comes along and He whispers to our heart and He says, Rod, this thing right here, it's not founded in the Word of God. Or you're causing harm to me or my people or your family or your co-workers. And as human beings, we can be so quick to just look at all the things that justify our current behavior and our patterns and our habits and not consider what the Lord wants us to consider. The ruts are hard to get out of sometimes. But if we're willing to pause, if we're willing to slow down, if we're willing to stop and be still so that the Lord can work within us, then the Lord can bring healing and correction and clarity to those places that are in our lives that need to be touched by the hand of the Lord for our lives to flourish. And we can have our own Damascus Road experience if we're willing to do that. I want to get my portion from this message and from the word of the Lord. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.